Give you glory, Lord. We thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word. Father, we just pray for your word, Lord, to continue to instruct us and build us up, Father God. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you, Lord, for your direction. We thank you, Lord, for your encouragement, Lord. We thank you for your love, Lord. Father, I just thank you once again for tonight. Blessings for all those homes represented, Lord, those that are going to be logging on, Father God. We just thank you, Lord. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Believe it or not, we are still studying the Fountain Gate. Is it too long? No. Is it too much information? No, it's not about information. It's about the word of life, the living word. Yeah. And I believe that when we dig deep in the word of God, we find life. We find something to build us and to make us grow. Assam did a wonderful study on the Fountain Gate, and you did the research, and I would like to Assam to lead us into this part of the seven things that found in around the Fountain Gate. Go ahead, Assam.
Well, thanks for putting me on the spot. I thought you were leading this, but just like through what we've been sharing for the last couple of weeks, that this gate had the most damage, and everything about it is so detailed. And there is a reason why, as we can see in this picture, the fountain gate is the beginning of our journey up. So we saw the sheep gate, we saw the fish gate, we went to the old gate, we went to the valley gate. That was very long process here. We went to the dung gate, got rid of the trash, and now we're about to take a step up. We're about to turn the corner. And we were just saying that in the prep meeting, that as a church, I feel like God is doing something. God is trying to take us into a new season. And as individuals, Dean and I and many others that shared, that we feel the same way, where God is trying to turn the corner for us. Mm-hmm. And there is no, but that's not, it's good news, right? But it's not, can you get the whole thing? But it's not as easy as it looks, because the enemy is always going to fight and the enemy is always going to destroy. So that's already too long of an introduction. There are seven spots that are connected to this fountain gate. When we look at those seven spots, why did the Bible make sure, or why the Holy Spirit made sure to list them? That's what we're going to discuss today. We're going to see the king's pool. We're going to see the king's garden. We're going to see the sect of Zion. We're going to see the tombs of David. We're going to see the man-made pool. And we're going to see the house of heroes. And finally, we're going to see the armory. All of these seven spots were connected and were mentioned in this fountain gate. So with the first one, the king's pool, let me go, Pastor Albert, can you give us what they saw when the Jewish people, okay, saw the king's pool? What did they see and what it means, and how can we apply it to our lives?
With respect to the king's pool, this is the same place as the pool of Siloam. And the word Siloam simply means sent. And this is where Jesus met with the blind man there and gave him vision. Okay. This is where healing happened. And it was there where Jesus said in John chapter 7, as you placed here in the notes, where he says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. So if we were to ask, what does this first initial pool stand for? What does it represent? It represents the sending of the Holy Spirit, which is the initial portion. And this is where Jesus told the disciples after the resurrection, when he said, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. and he will clothe you with power from on high, and that's where everything launches from. So I don't think it's a coincidence that this is the first portion here that's mentioned, because without the infilling of the Holy Spirit, without God residing on the inside in full power and authority, there's not much that we can do. We're absolutely working in our own strength, and that's never going to do. But we saw in Acts chapter 2, as we studied Sunday morning, what that power does and how many lives are transformed.
That's amazing. So why was it important to rebuild this? Why was it important to fix this, whether for them or for us right now?
This is a question open for everyone.
Yeah, the question is open for everyone. Yeah.
Well, if you, it's a lot of things, actually. I'm gonna say what came to my mind from what Pastor Al shared, and from the repairing of this part, which is the King's Pool. Okay, so if there was like a miracle of opening eyes, I think I am the first one. I believe that God still in the progress of opening my eyes to see, what he has for me, to see him personally, to see, you know, what's happening around me, and to be sent, like what we heard now. And it's a lot to take. Like when you are sent, you're not gonna be sent thirsty, but you will be sent with fullness of the Holy Spirit. You will be sent with a supernatural power. It's not by your might, it's not by your understanding or wisdom, it's by the power that is within you, which is the power of the Holy Spirit that will run through you. So from all this, I was like, wow, this is treasure. I pray that God will open our eyes to see what God has for us in his word. Yeah.
I mean, so to me, for someone who is so thirsty, and that's what Jesus said here. If anyone is thirsty, can you imagine on a very hot day and you're super, super thirsty? What a sight of a cold, nice cold, you know, glass of water would do to you personally. And someone is offering you this glass of water, it will definitely refresh your soul. It will make a difference with you. And especially if you have that glass of water, you know, for us as, you know, people who are in the wilderness right now, for people who are going through this journey of life, and Jesus is offering this in the beginning, and this in connection with this fountain gate, this blesses my heart. This encourages me that there's always going to be satisfaction with him. There's always going to be a place where I am going to be filled with him. So that's the King's Pool. The second spot, the King's Garden. It's about to die. The King's Garden. When you hear the word garden, what do you think of? Garden.
Flowers and fruit and beauty and things like that.
And after the enemy attacked Israel, how did they leave it? Do you think a place full of ruin and fire and all of that, do you think it had fruit? No. Do you think when the Israeli people who visited or who went there and saw that beautiful garden, and then after the attack and the enemy taking over, do you think it looked the same? Mm-hmm. And what does that remind us of? Does that remind us of what God intended for our life? Okay, let me go to Philip. If you can go through this for us, please.
Well, the garden, when you take it from the beginning of creation, God created man, so his original design to be in the garden, which, I'm going to use what I shared before in one of the Sundays. Gardens, that means, has two things, the green and the glory. The green, which is the blessings that we receive from God, all the fruits and authority and work and, you know, all this kind of blessings. This is the green. But also in the garden, there was something very important, which sometimes we miss it, which is the glory of God, the presence of God. So garden, it's, and the definition of garden is protected area or fenced area. And we're from the situation we hear, and in Israel, there is no protection, there is no guard, there is no, like, all the walls are broken, everyone is going out and in and out. So its situation is very bad, but I believe that even they lost everything is green. I believe that the presence of God is still there, and he raised someone like Nehemiah to come and rebuild the green part of the garden. Garden speaks about fruitfulness. Garden, if you have the Holy Spirit, if you have the presence of the Lord, automatically,
naturally.
Naturally? Directly? No?
Organically?
Yeah, you're gonna bring fruit. You're gonna bear fruit. If you have the Holy Spirit, immediately you will have to bear fruit, which is not yours, not mine. It's the fruits of the Spirit that within you. We are talking about, the first one is talking about the king's pool, where Jesus announced that he is, if anyone's thirsty, come to me, let him come to me. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit, speaking about the Holy Spirit. The second one, immediately, the garden, speaking about the fruit of the Spirit. So it's amazing. So the first word is sent, or king's pool, and the second word is fruitfulness.
Philip, just as you were speaking, I was thinking that those two things must follow, right? In order for a garden to thrive, there has to be water. There has to be. I'll tell you, after a month of or 2 months of construction, our garden has suffered, but our sprinklers are back up. Thanks to Philip. But in order for there to be a thriving garden, there must be the water. And so the Holy Spirit has to be present, has to be alive and well in our life for us to see fruitfulness come in the beauty of the garden. They're naturally related.
Amen. Thank you, Dina, for sharing this, because as you're sharing, I had something from God, that be careful not to judge a season that you're going through, that it's a dry season, God forgotten me, there is no water, I'm thirsty. I think the water is there if you just believe. Mm-hmm. Like what happened to the Israelites, you know, when they are thirsty and there's no water, and they cried out, and Moses went and prayed, God, what do we do? The water is there in the rock, inside the rock. All what you need to do is to believe and strike the rock, and the water will come. Yeah. So I believe each one of us, even if you are going through dry season, there is water, because the Holy Spirit is within you. And there is water, even if you see it or you don't see it. If it comes maybe in a flood, maybe it comes in dripping, but it's there. And it's enough to make you alive. It's enough to make you fruitful. Amen.
Amen.
Just for those who joined us right now, we're still in the Fountain Gate. And in the Fountain Gate, we see seven common areas that are connected in this passage in the last few verses. And those areas are the King's Pool. Okay. The second is the King's Garden. The third is the Steps of Zion. The fourth is the Tombs of David. And then man-made pool, then the House of Heroes, and then the Armory. And what we're doing today, we're taking a look at what these places meant to the Israeli people back then and what it means to us. Why did the Holy Spirit mention and put these in writing for us? So here we are thousands of years later, can come together and study it and connect it to our life. Okay, see how this is gonna benefit me. When Jesus stands in that same spot that the enemy destroyed, and Jesus goes and opens someone's eyes and gives him sight again. And when Jesus uses that same spot as a pulpit to tell those who are thirsty, not only that day and forever, if you're ever thirsty, come to me. I'm not only going to give you water that will satisfy your thirst, but no, I'm going to give you water and you are going to become a source of water.
Amen.
Not only that I'm going to satisfy you, but you're going to satisfy others. Not only that I'm going to bless you, but you're going to bless others. And then your life is going to be fruitful, not just any fruit, but like the king's garden. You know, we heard how man was created in and given a garden. And then the enemy stole that from us, right? Right? But then Jesus comes and restores. Jesus comes and he is really good at turning the ashes into beauties, the graves into gardens. You remember that day when a mom was going to give her son to the grave? Jesus stops that. Jesus stops that trip to the grave. Okay, and Jesus can still stop that trip to that grave in your life and turn it into a party. Jesus went to that grave itself and ordered someone, after being dead and after being in the grave for so long, ordered that grave site where it's filled with sorrow, filled with sadness and tears, made it full of rejoicing and joy and something that we're talking about until this day. Okay, so the enemy back then destroyed these areas. Nehemiah, sent by God, came and restored. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would restore every broken and every ruined area in our life.
Amen.
Amen? So that's what we're doing today in just two words, just in case. Then we're going to see... then we're going to see the steps of Zion. Steps of Zion. Okay. What do you know about the steps of Zion? Steps of Zion. These are the steps that the visitors would take to go to Jerusalem.
Instead of elevator.
Yeah, the elevators were broken at the time. During, you know, it is holidays and stuff, so the elevators were broken. So they had to take the stairs, okay? Just for Philip to give his joke and to make his peace with the Bible study. We're good? We're good? We're done for the day?
Finished. Now I am happy.
So when you hear the word steps, what can you think of? Steps.
Going up to a place, I think. Sorry, go ahead. Moving on up.
Moving up.
Yeah. Going up.
Going up. And what did
getting
you say?
Us to a destination.
Going, getting us into a destination. Okay, great.
What else?
The process, boy.
When you, what's that?
The process.
The process. Yes. Good job, Pastor Edwin.
Welcome, brother.
This is okay. So the steps of Zion. These were the steps that the visitors would take. And as they are going up to Jerusalem, as they're going up to the temple to offer their sacrifices, as they're going up, they are singing these songs. And the songs, if you wanna be blessed tonight before the end of the night, go read from Psalm 120 to Psalm 135. They're very short. It will take you probably 10 minutes. Okay? But as you're there, watch the progress. Watch the progress in Psalm 20 all the way to the end. Watch the first one in 120 when someone is really depressed and feeling very bad for themselves and, you know, can't see light in the end of the tunnel or can't. And then they start saying, you know, looking up the mountain as they're going up the steps and they're still seeing the city, seeing the Jerusalem. And then they start talking about where they're going. Just go read them. And this speaks to the steps that we take, the progress we make with God day after day. What is that progress? Question for all.
Our journey with Jesus.
Yeah. I think Jesus also speaks that it's as long as we're alive, there's progression in our walk with the Lord.
Very good.
That it's really not about, you know, winning or what, it's about the destination, the journey, as Philip said, of our walk with the Lord, that there isn't. And that's very helpful to me because I think sometimes as Christians, we assume that we need to arrive at a certain place. Like we need to be, you know, in this like righteous state. And I think it's never been that for me. It's always been sort of a progressive walk. And then, you know, the layers of the onion.
That's very good. You know what really gets me in this area is that they are going, they're walking to sacrifice, expecting the Messiah that's going to come, right? Who is the true sacrifice, right? But they're walking and they're singing, you know, through these steps, through this journey. They're walking and they're singing and they're rejoicing and they're so happy. Actually, one of the songs, I think it's 121 or 122, that says, that I was glad when they said we're going to the house of the Lord. Okay, so that's what they were doing back then when they were going to sacrifice for something that's going to happen, something that's going to come. How much more should we be glad and rejoicing and singing knowing that something already happened, something that already done? How much encouragement should that give us to walk this journey knowing it was finished, knowing it was done, and I am walking in the victory with our Lord. You know, another question. Do you see, you remember the disciples from the day Jesus met them? And then the 3 years plus that he spent with them, and then the book of Acts that we're studying until they died. Do you see any difference in their lives?
From when Jesus met them and...
From the day Jesus met them until, you know, all of it, until they died. Do you see any progress?
Oh, yeah.
No? Yes?
Huge.
Yes, huge.
Any examples you think of?
Well, the progress that happened in Peter's life from a fisher man to fisher that he fishes men, you know, I'm gonna make you fisher of men. That's right. Sayadiness.
Yeah. But did that happen right away, Philip?
No.
Okay.
It's a progress of being like giving up things, giving up rights, and being afraid, being betraying even Jesus. And it's journey full of ups and downs for him, volunteering to die with Jesus, but the second day he betrayed him. So it's a lot of progress, you know, until he died for Jesus.
So when you and I see something like that, what does that tell us? What does that tell us when the enemy, when I make a mistake and the enemy tells me it's over? When I fall and the enemy says, this is it, this is the end of the road for you. Remember those steps. Just remember, one of the blessings we have, one of the blessings they had to take those steps to reach the end. You know, the end has been already reached for us. We should be glad, we should be singing. But our life is day by day, is that journey. I will fall. Sorry, Pastor Mike, you want to say something? I will fall. I will stumble. But you know what? I will pick up. The Lord will be my light. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. I will keep going in that progress. Then we see David, the tombs of David.
Before we go there, Assam, I have a question.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a little bit personally. What do you think? We're going to share this so we can benefit each other. Yeah. What's the thing that makes you get up and rise up when you fall, when you feel that you are broken? What's the things that makes you get up? Like, for example, when Peter betrayed Jesus and denied him, Jesus looked at him. He looked at him. He went and cried, and he got up from there, you know? And what's the thing that makes you get up? I'm going to share mine. So I hope that each one of us can share what's the things that can encourage you and makes you rise up again. For me, when I think about the grace of God, the first thing, I feel like, you know what, it's not by my power. I know that I am weak. I am human. I do mistakes. If I say I have no sin, I am a liar, and I have no truth, like what the Bible says. So when I think about that, I think about the grace of God, that he has sufficient grace. My grace is sufficient to me. You know, I rise up, I get up, and I pray against the guilt. I pray against the shame that the enemy wants to put on my life so he can keep me down, you know? So I think about the grace of God, and that will make me rise up. If you would like to share, it just to benefit each other. It's not to embarrass each other, it's to benefit each other.
I think about the sacrifice made.
Amen.
For me, there's something very stark about putting God's sacrifice in front of my sin and in front of my failure. So.
Amen.
I see that the adoption was final and permanent.
Amen.
When I have my children, when they make mistakes, I don't kick them out of the house. I don't, you know, write them off. They're still my children, and I know that they make mistakes.
Yes.
So a child is always a child, and that doesn't change. So my salvation is permanent, but my sanctification is an ongoing process.
Mm. Amen. Amen.
But for me, I know God is a winner. And even when I lose a battle, doesn't mean I lost everything. It's just a battle, but I'm going to win the ultimate war. Because God is a winner. If I'm following, and if I'm following him, I'm a winner as well.
Amen. Amen. So go ahead, please. If you didn't share, please share how you rise up. What's the things that motivate you to rise up when you fall? When you were talking, I imagined all the stairs like have names, you know. Yeah. So one stairs has like grace, the work of the cross, adoption, God is a winner. You know, when you put like something on the stairs, the rise.
Yeah,
Yeah. I have this picture, and please complete it. If you didn't share, just share yours to complete this picture. How we get up, how we rise up, and how we progress from falling, from being down into from glory to glory. By the grace, by the work of the cross, by adoption, being adopted into God's family. God is winner. God is almighty. Amen? Please share.
By obedience, as Jesus was obedient.
Amen.
He gives us a second chance. He raised whatever we do and gives us a chance.
And it's always second chance.
Yeah.
It's not third.
He's not third.
He's not counting for us.
No.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Very good.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, so these are the steps. These are the steps that from glory to glory, from experience to experience. One day, you know, I can tell you this. Who I am 18 years ago when I asked Dina to marry me is not the same person, you know, that you are seeing today. To the point that I have no idea why she said yes. I have no idea why the first person ever asked me to speak, why they would ask me to speak. I look at myself and I'm like, how did I tolerate myself? But you know what? God's grace that took us, that keeps taking me from one step to another. God's grace that will keep taking you from one step to another. This is one of your blessings. There is progress. Just say this to yourself today. Make sure you say this before you sleep, that tomorrow I'm going to be better than today. And the day after, I'm going to be better. Our church is going to be better. Our ministry is going to be better. Our kids are going to be better. Our relationship with God is going to be better. We're going to take those steps. As Philip said, maybe just remember that tomorrow when you're falling and you see that step that says there's a second chance. When you're falling and you see that another step that tells you, just come up. You're a winner. There's another step that says, I am full of grace. You will see that step. And I pray in Jesus' name that you will see that step as I want to see that step in those moments. Then we see another place.
One thing before you move on. Sorry.
Oh, gosh.
This is what he has to live with for 18 years. I just want to say when you're going, have you ever gone up a really long way using stairs? Have you ever done that?
Yep.
Okay, so in Egypt, the elevators are always broken, always.
Even if they're not.
If they even have one. And my father's home, it's a very old home, and when I visited, it's on the fifth floor. And
those are high steps.
He's really terrible. I mean, I don't know.
Like you almost have to climb each step.
But every step is monumental, okay? And if you are on the ground floor and you start thinking about that fifth floor, you're like, forget it. I don't want to go. It's too much. It really is too much. I'm exhausted just thinking about it. But really, there's something to be said about taking every step as it comes, you know, because I don't have grace for the fifth floor yet. Mm-hmm. When I'm on the ground, you know, I maybe have grace for the landing on the first floor, the landing on the second floor. and you just take it as it is. And there's something that we sort of speak in our home all the time. It's any day where I can look at today and look back at yesterday and say, hey, I love God more today than I did yesterday. That day is a win, right? Yeah. And so that's sort of like just the progression of taking something one step at a time or one place at a time really can change our life.
So. Okay. Then
I wanted to share I was thinking just to second what Dina said. I was thinking that we take one step at a time, and if we skip a step, we're missing out in some blessings.
Oh yeah.
For a moment I wanted to rush. I wanted to rush things. Can you just get me to the victory and let me skip what's going on, you know? But the Lord says, no, you take one step and leave that step, learn, get the blessing, and then let's move on to the next step.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very good. Okay. Then we see the tombs of David, or the monuments, or the pillars. For an Israeli person, when he sees the word David, okay, now you're Israeli and you hear the word David, or you see a statue of David or a reference of David, what do you think of? Brainstorm with me. What do you think of?
Rola's saying Psalms.
Psalms?
Yeah.
Like singing and worship?
Hmm.
Okay. What else?
Hero for them, you know.
What's that?
The David is the hero for them.
That's right, hero. Yeah. Good job. Mm-hmm. What else?
He's royal.
Royal. Uh-huh. Okay. David. What else? Come on. We talk about David more than we talk about anything. Half of the Christians are naming their kids David. So
Edwin's telling me to say kingship.
Why can't you say it?
He always wants me to speak.
He's like, I would have said something. Great. How about, you know, okay, so to me, I'll share with you what I love the most about David. David is someone that came out of nothing. David was someone who was forgotten. David was the youngest, who was like completely ignored and disregarded, and no one knew about him. And God decides to take this poor little child and to make a kingship, to make a hero out of him, to make a worshiper, to make someone who led Israel into the most victories in their history. And the enemy comes and makes sure he destroys that name. Mm. And the enemy comes, makes sure to destroy every David in your life, or every David moment you had in your life.
Mm.
Not only that, but out of David was promised to who? Who was promised to be the offspring of David?
Jesus.
Jesus. I want to make sure that that's destroyed and forgotten as well. See, it's not a coincidence. It is not coincidence that we have these amazing monuments and spots connected to the fountain gate, our ways and our way up. It's not a coincidence that the enemy did his worst work in this area.
Mm.
Yeah. What? Let me ask you this, and how can we apply this, or how or what did the enemy steal from our lives that was similar to this? You know, I'm going to be honest with you. A few weeks ago, I heard of one of my heroes, truly one of my heroes. I read every book, I watched almost every video, and this person after death, he was caught in a huge scandal. It really destroyed me because I spent so much time listening, spent so much time sharing, spent so much time having the kids listen and read, and it destroyed me. It absolutely destroyed me. You know, I was reminded of this when I was reading this area, when I was reading this, that the enemy wants to destroy some of our heroes. But you know what? The enemy can never destroy our one hero. The enemy can never destroy. He might be able to destroy the tomb of David. He might even destroy David's life for a while. He might be able to destroy a few things here and there, but the enemy could not destroy the offspring of David. The offspring of David came and paid him for everything that he's done to David and to anyone else. Say amen.
Amen.
And that's available to you and to me today. Amen.
Amen.
7:41.
I think before you continue, Assam, I think that this is like a two-sided coin, the monuments.
Yes.
Because there are victories along the paths of the steps that we mentioned. There are victories that God gave us along the path. And one of the things the enemy tries to do is to get us to forget those victories and only focus on the struggles or the problems. But the reason why the monuments are there is a memorial to help remind us of what God has done for us in the past.
Good.
Similar to what Joshua had the children of Israel do when they took 12 stones out of the river and put them on the bank of the Jordan to say, this is a reminder for you and for your children. When they ask you, what is this? You say, this is when the Lord did this for us, when he dried up the Jordan for us and we crossed over onto dry land. And so every time I have a victory, there has to be a monument that's created to say, this is what God has done for me, because most of my life, I don't experience victory like on a regular grandiose basis. Most of my days are normal, ordinary days. So when I'm facing the struggle in those normal days, I need to look back and reflect and say, this is what God has done for me in the past. I remember when he brought manna from heaven. I remember when he brought water from the rock. I remember when he dried the Jordan. I remember when he defeated my enemies. I remember the pillar of fire and the cloud by day. I remember the quail. I remember his goodness over my life. I remember the time where I didn't have the money to pay my mortgage and he provided for me. I remember the time I'm in the ER and he healed me. I remember the time where I'm sitting in church and someone laid their hand on me and the Lord touched me. I remember the time where I was in a certain place and someone met with me and reminded me of his promises. Those are monuments that I need to go back and remember and write down and say, God has been faithful and he'll continue to be faithful because he doesn't change. The circumstances of my life can change. I can change. But God doesn't change. And those monuments are a memorial to the goodness and the faithfulness of God.
Amen.
And I need to hold on to those. It'll give me peace for today and hope for tomorrow.
Amen. And that's why he is the pastor. So that's really good. So, and no coincidence again that the enemy tries to take that from us. You know, that's, you know, the struggle of forgetting, the struggle of forgetting God's goodness, what God has done with me over and over, I'm sure we can all relate, is one of our main struggles in life. And if we can hold on to this, maybe we can defeat a lot of our anxieties, our fears, right?
Amen.
Amen. Then we come to the man-made fool. Okay, Philip, you want to go through this for us, please?
Okay, so this is where they used to give water for the travelers or the camels that are traveling. So that speaks about the service, and you remember from way back in Genesis when Lazarus, the servant of Abraham from Damascus, came to choose wife for Isaac, And he put like a sign, whoever will come out and say that I will give you water, but you take water and I will give water for your camels, that she will be the wife. And when he met Rebecca, and God gave success to his journey. So that speaks about first of all, Lazarus was a servant of Abraham. And giving water for the travelers is an act of service, act of kindness, act of hospitality. You remember when the Israelites were going out of Egypt and going through, I can't remember the place exactly, but they refused to give them anything. They refused to give them water, refused to give them food, and later on that there was a war against this place. And act of service is important in our life, in our journey going up. I think we shared this before. Me and Dalia shared this revelation about being service, being servant. And I think I shared that you cannot, leaders can delegate any responsibility, but not being servant. Yeah, which is, this is where it happens in this gate of fountain, a fountain gate, to learn how to be of service. I just wanna share something generally about this gate. Put it in your mind as we're going up, and as we're discussing all the other areas, the seven areas that found in the fountain gate. Okay, so water cannot go up, right? Water comes down. So the fountain gate, I know that because I visited Lebanon a lot, which is very close to this area. When the rain comes, fall into the mountains, not all the water goes off the surface. Some of the water penetrate the mountains between rocks and between, you know, all the dirt, and goes down and makes fountains. Yeah. And even in Lebanon, one of the most beautiful places, it's called Ja'ita Cave, which is, from outside it's a mountain, but when you go to this cave, there is like what do you call it, like a pool of water, huge. You can take like a boat inside this, because the water came penetrate the mountain inside and make this huge pool of water. And I want you to put this in your mind, that this journey, the water is always, the water source always is from up. Mm-hmm. Okay? You are going up, but the water is going down, is falling down. In your journey, in your progress, you're going up, and the water is always going down, and which is to represent the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And in this image, I was like, in this progress that we're talking about, in this progress of being sent, being from glory to glory, from this progress of being servant, our strength comes from the water that is falling down on us. Amen. So just put this in your mind as we're going into this journey. Amen.
Amen. Then we see, because we're 10 minutes away, we see the House of Heroes. The House of Heroes speaks about the transformation. Some people who were rejected, some people who had no value in life, all of a sudden they became heroes, all of a sudden became champion, not because of their own work, but because they found a friend, they found a leader, they found a kind heart that believed in them. You know, so this place was connected to the fountain gate. And in the fountain gate, guess what? Every single one of us will turn from what the enemy tried to make out of us to what God can make out of us. Mm. You know, look at the what happened to read in 2 Samuel. You'll see the story of those men that came to David. Remember, David was very much alone. And there is something that there is a verse that says that everyone who is rejected and saddened and filled sorrow came to him. Really? David, you're trying to build your kingdom. You're trying to do something. I would go pick the best politicians. I would go pick the best warriors. I would go pick the best of the best to try to establish your kingdom. But David accepted these men, worked with these men, and these men forgot who they are. And all of a sudden, after hanging out with David, David rubbed off on them and became heroes. Their names are mentioned in the word of God. Just like the disciples we were just talking about a few minutes ago. Some fishermen, some people who really, like when they were, I think Pastor Albert was talking about this, when people heard them speaking, they were like, who are these uneducated people who are from the nowhere and like, how are they speaking that way? You know, because that transformation that Jesus made in their life. He took people out of nothing and made them ambassadors for his word. We see here that those heroes, and again, these are not just things we read about. These are a remind, all of them are reminders. These are all reminders of what God can do in every part of my life, every part in your life, every part in my neighbor's life. You know, I pray today that we can have the same heart David had to accept these men and to work with them and to transform them from rejected to heroes. I pray that we would have the same heart that God had on me, on you, on so many other people, that he took us in, accepted us, and made something out of us. Amen.
Amen.
Any other example, any other examples in the Bible you can think of? Come on, the Bible has nothing but these stories.
That's right.
Seriously. The Bible has nothing but underdog stories.
Well, the little boy that gave his lunch for Jesus is a hero.
Absolutely.
Is an active, you know, faith.
Yeah.
And because of that, multitude of people were fed.
Amen. How about the widow that fed, that helped Elijah?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I
think about the little girl who shared the good news with Naaman.
Yes.
About him getting healed.
Mm-hmm. How about Esther?
How about Esther? Yeah.
Mordechai.
Mm-hmm. How about that little Jewish slave boy, 17-year-old or so? Slave. And all of a sudden he becomes the man in charge of the whole world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, the Bible is full of these stories. One story after another. Just like Pastor Albert said, these are all good stories to remember. These are good things to remember because the same that was done to them, it's not about them. It's about who did it.
Amen.
Okay. It's about, you're going to tell me, oh, but I'm not like Joseph. I understand you're not like Joseph, but the same God who transformed Joseph, transformed his life, the same God who transformed Daniel's life is the same God that can and will transform your life and my life. I pray that this place will be restored in our lives today. But not only that, I pray that we can take this part of the study and go share it with someone that's ruined right now. Someone that cannot see beyond where they are. Someone cannot see beyond the big, huge mess they're in. You can tell them you can be a hero one day. What, even if the enemy is trying to destroy this house of heroes or these examples, but cannot destroy God and what God can do. And finally, and I'll go to Pastor Albert really quick, it's the armory. We have the fountain gate connected to the armory. So Pastor Albert, can you go through that, please?
It's interesting that the final part here that's mentioned for us has to do with warfare. And it has to do with the weapons of our warfare. And we're taught about that in the book of Ephesians. The book of teaches about the heavenlies and living in the heavenlies and in all the richness of God. And it closes that teaching with the same way that this portion here is closing out, that there's a war. If we want to have those glorious experiences and receive the inheritance and live in the inheritance, there's an ongoing battle that's there. And that's why we have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and the belt of truth, and so on. But those are typically weapons of defense, but we do have an amazing, amazing weapon of offense that's mentioned there, which is the sword of the Spirit, and that's the word of God. And that's why the Lord told Joshua, he says, I want you to meditate on this word day and night, because that's when you will make your way prosperous. That's where you will have good success. And that word meditate just simply means to repeat the promises of God over and over and over again. I take God's word, I take his promises, I take the faithfulness of God, and I begin to speak those things out loud over and over again throughout my day to remind myself and to encourage those around me, to allow the coin to drop from my head down into my heart so it becomes a reality of who I am. And that's the sword of the Spirit, and that's what Jesus used when he was tempted in the wilderness by Satan, knowing that we're using the word of God to do our warfare. And even there, when the devil came to leave Jesus, it says he left them until an opportune time, because the warfare is continuous. The warfare doesn't stop. When the enemy sees that I have built this these antibodies, is that the word of the day? Antibodies, this resistance inside, that he leaves me for a season until I begin to get lazy, until I begin to get tired, until I begin to withdraw. And that's when he comes to attack again. So the war doesn't stop. The warfare doesn't stop. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen. Amen. So in the final thing, I'm going to share it in 2 minutes or less. I just put a word for every thing that we spoke about. I promised you guys when we were preparing, I would put one word, but I came with another word. So don't forgive me because I'm not sinning. So I, okay. The first thing is King's Pool, which is the pool of Siloam, where God promised to send the Holy Spirit. We chose the word sent. But when you are sent, you're not going to be sent empty-handed. You're going to be sent with a supernatural power. Say amen. This is the first one, the first word. Second word, which is King's Garden, which speaks about fruitfulness. So this is the second word, fruitfulness. And this fruitfulness is promised by God. You know, go and those miracles will follow you. All those wonders will follow you. Yeah, the fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit will be in you. So fruitfulness is promised. Third word, which is the steps of Zion, the word for it is progress. Yep. Is the progress in our life. And this progress starts there in the fountain valley. The fountain gate. The fourth word, which is the tombs of David, which is the monuments. From what I heard today, remember the good things that God did in your life, and remember even during the bad time God saved you, God rescued you. Amen. So remember those days. Put a stone of remembrance. then and say that there until here God have helped us, like Ebenezer stone. And another place, which is a man-made pool, which speaks about service. Yes, we are going to be servant, but like our Savior and Lord, He is Savior, but He is the King Himself. So He's a Savior, a servant King. Amen. So the last, not the last, the sixth word is the House of Heroes, which is, speaks about transformation. The word here is, the sixth word is transformation. And remember, this transformation happened out of nothing, out of nothingness, nothingness. Remember, you and me are only like a dirt, but God takes this dirt and breathes in it and makes it according to His heart. Amen. So transformation out of nothing. And the last word is warfare, which is, it speaks about the armory, the warfare that we are, it's ongoing, it's happening all the time. But remember, in this warfare, we are more than victorious because we have Jesus on our side. Sorry, I took 4 minutes, not 2 minutes. But God bless you all. We love you. Amen.
Amen. Next week, we'll start maybe two or three gates, hopefully. Okay. So still in Nehemiah 3, starting in verse 26. So please read from 26 all the way to the end. Just read them. But what I would encourage you as well tonight, go read Psalms 120 to 135 and just look at the progress and just take a look at those who are trying to go and to visit the house of the Lord. Look at how they felt and how they ended. Okay. Amen. I promise you it's going to take you about 10 minutes to read it. And after you finish reading them, you're going to want to read them again because that's what happened to me. And it was a great blessing. So you won't lose much.
Amen. Let me pray and we'll close the meeting. Heavenly Father, I thank you that in our journey, we're not alone. Thank you, Lord, that you are telling us, to each one of us, that we are not alone, that you are with us, that you are the reason we are here, that you are the power, the strength that encourage and empower us, Lord, and strengths our inner being, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus that each one of us stays in this place of fountain, and the life that you promised in our life, Lord, to send the Holy Spirit, to send the power of the Holy Spirit to strengthen us. Lord, I pray that today will be a word of encouragement and to build us and not to be defeated, but to look for the higher place where our help comes from. Lord, I thank you for each one of us here. I pray in the name of Jesus to bless us and give us a peaceful night. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Habibis.